Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Can you believe this?
Chest. Looking to push tempo here, the Pelicans.
He'll get there. Bunny hops into a bucket.
Hold that follow through.
He posed.
That's right.
This is what takes you to another level.
What the Pel is up, everybody? This is Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans with your host, Elliot Clough, at Elliot Clough on Twitter. That's ELIOTCLOUGH. And before we get started, gotta remind you, make sure you're subscribing or following, depending on what platform you're listening to this podcast on. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, which I know the majority of you do, it would be awesome and greatly appreciated if you did scroll down to the very bottom and click write a review, and that way you can leave a rate as well, preferably 5 stars, but we want you to be honest over there. If you're having any thoughts, any recommendations referring to the podcast, any places that you believe that we can improve, we will greatly take your constructive criticism. Not constructive compliments, as Michael Scott once said. Constructive criticism is greatly appreciated. We are not afraid of that criticism. So have any thoughts, make sure to drop them below. It takes like 20 seconds. And again, we greatly appreciate it. But you're not here to listen to me to ask you of a favor. You're here to listen about your New Orleans Pelicans. And we had a ton of basketball going on today in the bubble. Had some teams playing that we wanted to lose that ultimately won. 2 out of 3 did win today, and we'll go over that here right now, actually. The Suns, that was the most my voice has cracked probably since middle school. The Suns, Blazers, and Kings played today. Suns defeating the Clippers with Devin Booker hitting a game-winning shot over Paul George in the latter moments of that game. The Suns really kind of holding on, basically from the get-go. The Clippers did not look good in this matchup with the Phoenix Suns, and who would have guessed that in the Orlando bubble, of the two teams, in the 3 games that the Clippers have played, 2 of them would be losses, one to the Lakers and the other one to the Phoenix Suns. Kawhi leading in scoring for the Clippers, putting up 27, just, well, 10 of 21 from the field, almost 50% from the field, and then Paul George going 6 of 17 for 23 points, was 10 of 10 from the free throw line as well. Lou Williams not really contributing in his first game back in the bubble. 21 minutes, 3 of 8, and just 7 points. So the Suns keeping their edge in the Western Conference battle for the 8 and 9 spot. The rest of their schedule, though, looking pretty, pretty ugly. Pretty, pretty ugly going forward. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure, as the season, as these 8 games progress. Blazers game just finishing up as I am recording this podcast. Wanted to make sure we got that in because it is so important for the Pelicans playoff race going forward. The Blazers ultimately did take down the Rockets tonight, 110 to 102 being the last game of the day in the bubble. And the Blazers are really, really rolling right now, keeping up with the best teams in the league. Their one loss in their 3 games coming to the Boston Celtics, who also actually lost tonight to Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat. The Suns, as I mentioned, are 29 and 39 as we currently sit, just behind the Pelicans at 29 and 38, and the Trailblazers sitting in that nine spot, 31-38, just a game and a half back of the Memphis Grizzlies going into tomorrow. And I do not see the Grizzlies winning another game, so we'll see how that shakes out. And then lastly, of these three games that happened today, three teams vying for the 8 and 9 spot in the Western Conference is the Sacramento Kings. They fell to the Dallas Mavericks, going now 0-3 in the bubble. And this was the first win for Dallas in the bubble, actually, a 114-110 win for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Kings really, really pretty much, I mean, I would almost say they almost had this one in the bag, and then it went into overtime. And I mean, the Mavericks shot just 22% from three tonight, which is huge, especially when you got Luka Doncic on your team, and he made two threes. Tim Hardaway Jr. made three threes, but nobody else made multiple three-point shots. Kristaps Porzingis going 0-7 from deep, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, so making up with for some of his points there, but 6 of 18 from the field as well. So the Mavs really continuing to look pretty ugly going forward. The Kings here, actually, in this one, scoring just 13 points in the fourth quarter as well. Started off hot, had a 10-point lead going into the second quarter, 37-27 over the Dallas Mavericks, and then letting it get away from them as the game progressed, again scoring just 13 points in that fourth quarter. So an ugly finish for the Sacramento Kings in that one, coming away with another loss in the bubble, and hopefully coming up on Thursday, a fourth loss to the New Orleans Pelicans. This is the fourth game as well for New Orleans going into this Thursday, the first half of a back-to-back, and the second half will be the Wizards, and we'll preview that game and review the Kings game, hopefully following. I've got some friends coming up this weekend, so we'll see what we can do in terms of recording some podcasts, but we will do our very, very best to get you what you need here on Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans as we move forward in the NBA bubble. But preview, we're doing it a couple days early. Just want to make sure we have it up and so we can talk about it. Maybe we probably won't record another one until after the game on Thursday, but wanted to get this one up so more people can listen to it before the game happens. I know we did a podcast at 9 o'clock yesterday in the morning. That's when it got posted, and fewer people can check it out at that point in time. So we definitely want to be getting these podcasts to you as soon as possible, and so more people can check them out when it's timely. So with that said, Kings, New Orleans Pelicans are taking on the Kings on Thursday during the day, 12:30 p.m. on NBA TV. So that'll be going on early in the day. Not a huge matchup, i.e. why it's on NBA TV instead of a major network like ESPN or TNT. So if you have NBA League Pass or if you have access to NBA TV, you'll be able to watch it that way. Once again, if you're a Pelicans fan, you know, right now we don't have access to all these games, especially games like this, and I don't know that we're going to be able to watch the game against the Spurs either, at least not on national television. So NBA League Pass coming in clutch right about now, and I would definitely recommend it if you're really wanting to watch these games and not just the highlights. So, anywho, Kings, Pels, taking each other on at 12:30 p.m. on Thursday. So the last time these two teams played was in January 4th. This was actually the Pels and the Kings were both in Sacramento ready to play, and then everything got shut down on March 11th. So this would have been the last game for either of these two, but they shut it down before the before tip happened, so didn't get to play this one. So that'd probably be a reason why the Kings and Pels were playing each other twice in the bubble. Usually, you don't, I mean, we're typically not seeing that throughout the remainder of the schedule, but this is actually going to be hopefully really beneficial for the Pels in the bubble. So the last time these two played, it was a 117-115 victory on January 4th for the Pelicans, with J.J. Redick hitting that game winner as time expired. The left-handed hook, not hook, but the scoop up that nearly hit the top of the Kings stadium, which was kind of dope. Arena which was rad. But the Pels actually trailed going into the fourth quarter, and Zoe went for 15 in the fourth, had just 9 points prior to that, ultimately led the Pels in scoring that night, having, again, like I said, just 9 going into the fourth, and leading the way for the Pelicans to finish off the Kings with 15 points in the fourth quarter. Not something we see a lot from Lonzo, something that a lot of us have been wanting to see more of from Lonzo Ball is aggressiveness, not necessarily down the stretch, but just in general, going at the basket, not settling for jump shots. But again, this is not something we've seen a lot from him, especially down the stretch, as time starts to wind down in the fourth quarter and also come up clutch to boot. He took a three-point shot against the Utah Jazz in the bubble early when I really, really didn't want him to. It's something that I've been hammering home on these podcasts as well as when I was on The Word with G on ESPN 1420 in Lafayette this week, was that Zoe has been taking too many shots and he continues to shoot the ball when he's not shooting well and he just needs to be a distributor. That was an example. Here, he was making shots. So good for you, Zoe. That's not something we're going to see a lot of, I would guess. Not only when he's young, but as his career progresses. Now, in this game, the Pels did actually have a four-point lead with 4.2 seconds to go, and then Nemanja Bjelica converted a four-point play that made it actually look like the game was going to go into overtime. Luckily for the Pels, like I said, J.J. Redick was able to get that shot off, and those 2 points were the only points that J.J. scored in the second half of this game, which is pretty wild. I believe he had 15 in the first half, so quite a turnaround for JJ. I believe they took him off the bench and he got that shot to go. So pretty impressive from Redick, the veteran out of Duke. Now, like I said, Lonzo Ball led the team in scoring with 24 points. He also had 10 assists and 6 rebounds. So probably the best showing that we've seen from Lonzo this year was in this game. And he was even matched up with De'Aaron Fox in this one. De'Aaron Fox, one of the fastest guards in the league and a guy who could have been in the running for MIP. I think a lot of people had him there at the beginning of the year, maybe a pick for most improved player of the year in terms of before the season started, you know, preseason predictions, stuff like that. But not quite coming up to that level of play is De'Aaron Fox, at least to this rate. He's still a good basketball player. I liked him a lot coming out of Kentucky, one of the fastest players in the league, great at attacking the basket. Not the greatest shooter, but I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he plays the game quickly and the right way. Drew also put up 19 in this one. JJ added 19 as well, so he had 17 in that first quarter. And then Josh Hart and BI each put up 16 for the Pelicans in Sacramento. Obviously, the Pelicans didn't have Zion in this one, as it was January 4th before his debut against the Spurs in late January, and then Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Nicolo Melli did not play in this matchup. Jahlil Okafor got some minutes in this one, 7 minutes, which is a word highly doubt we're going to see in this time around. But again, I think I've said it before on this pod. I said it on The Word with G as well. I'd like to see Ja get some minutes. Don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see it. I think he looked really good in the scrimmages. He looks fit. And I want to see him get on the court. Derek Favors doing the best he can right now. He looked much better in this last game. And the thing is, the way we know Derek Favors is doing what he needs to do is when we don't really think about him being on the court. Defensive stops, rebounds. Right now, he's really not a scoring focal point at all. Looking at box scores from previous games this season, it was typical to see him put in like 12 a night, something like that. He's averaging something like that. I don't have the exact stat off the top of my head, but for the Pelicans, what we've seen the best of Derek Favors is when we don't notice him, which was this last game against the Memphis Grizzlies. So, be sweet to see Ja get in there. For the Kings, Bogdan Bogdanovic did not play on this January 4th matchup. Trevor Ariza was still part of the team, and he played a significant 32 minutes in that previous matchup. The Kings did not have Corey Brewer at that time, who has, I don't even know if he's been playing in the bubble, like at all. Marvin Bagley didn't play in that first one, and he's not playing now. He is not in the bubble. And Harrison Barnes actually went off for 30, followed by Buddy Hield's 24, and De'Aaron Fox just put up 17 against the New Orleans Pelicans in Sacramento on that first matchup on January 4th between the Pels and the Kings. So fast forward a little bit to where we're at right now, and the Kings, like I said, are 0-3 in the NBA bubble as we currently sit. First loss came to the Spurs, 129-120. De'Aaron Fox led the way for the Kings in that one. 39 points for the young man, like I said, out of Kentucky. DeMar DeRozan scored 27 for the Spurs to lead the way for them. The second matchup for the Kings came against the Orlando Magic. It was a 132-116 loss to the Magic. So 16-point loss, not something necessarily super pretty. Harry Giles III led the way with 23 points for the Kings. For Orlando, it was Terrence Ross, 25 points, and then Nikola Vucevic, 23 points. Tonight's matchup against the Dallas Mavericks, 114-110 loss. De'Aaron Fox led the way, 28 points, 9 assists. Luka put up 34 points. Tim Hardaway with 22, and Kristaps with 22. Not the prettiest stat line from Kristaps, but he was able to get to the free throw line a bunch of times, 6 of 18 from the field. So, like I said, not super, super pretty, but was able to get the job done. Mavs walked away with a win. That's what matters, even though they are 1-2. And have just the one win against one of the not-so-good teams in the bubble. So I lined up some keys to victory for the New Orleans Pelicans in their most recent matchup with the Memphis Grizzlies. And that seems to have caught on with, you know, Twitter. And it's been a good way to outline these podcasts. And I think it's the way to really look at these games going forward. At least if we don't have a guest like Garrett Korpening or McCade Pearson that came on fairly recently, and it's kind of short notice to get these lined up. So hopefully we'll have one previewing maybe the next time we have the Kings play the Pels, or one on Saturday to preview the Pelicans versus the Spurs. I think that'll be a fun one. Also, like I said, have some friends coming up this weekend, so we'll see what we can do, but we will do our very best to get you some Pels content when needed. So looks like another star guard sort of matchup for the Pelicans in this one. In that first game, it was Drew that was going to be leaned on to be guarding Donovan Mitchell. Then following up that, it was, you know, Drew and Zoe and probably Brandon Ingram guarding that Paul George, Kawhi Leonard type at 3-2-3-4 kind of tweener position. I would label them as threes, small forwards. That didn't go well. And then in the third game, matching up with the Memphis Grizzlies, it was Drew once again locking Ja Morant up, going 5 of 21 from the field, just 1 of 10 from 3, and Jaren Jackson Jr. really not doing what he was most capable of. By the way, he has a torn meniscus, so he will be out the remainder of the season, which sucks for the Grizzlies. Love his future, love his ceiling, just not able to quite put it all together this season and stay healthy in the process, so hopefully he will be okay. Also, speaking of the Magic just a little bit ago, Jonathan Isaac tearing his ACL and going to be out the remainder of the season. So tough stuff for both of those guys. Prayers, again, if you're not religious, good vibes, send them their way. They definitely, I'm sure, appreciate it. So as we were saying, big matchup for the guards in this one. Drew and Zoe matching up with De'Aaron Fox, one of the fastest, smartest point guards in the league, especially considering his youth. Drew and Zoe will likely be matched up with him. More Drew than Zoe, probably. If Drew's off the floor, it'll be Lonzo. And Frank Jackson's been getting minutes, so maybe he'll match up with him as well. And athletically, I think Frank can line up with a guy like De'Aaron Fox, so maybe he'll see a few more minutes in this one. Don't expect 20 minutes from Frank Jackson or anything like that. Maybe not even 10. I think it'll be a pair of fresh legs to match up with De'Aaron Fox, if anything, in this one. So we tend to give a ton of credit to Drew for his defense, and rightfully so. He's an all-NBA defender. But Zoe has been playing some pretty solid minutes on the defensive end of the floor in these three games. Obviously, nothing really went well for the matchup with the Clippers. But Zoe looked pretty solid so far in the bubble with his defensive side of the game. And if he can do something to hinder Fox's speed in transition, make Fox run up and down the court with the Pels in transition, get him tired out, that'll be huge. I think Lonzo plays a huge role in this one again. Granted, he scored 24 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. That was pretty outlandish for a stat line for Lonzo Ball, and I'm not expecting anything like that necessarily, at least not to that degree, for Lonzo Ball in this one against the Sacramento Kings. But I think his role is going to be bigger than what it has been thus far in the bubble, and I trust him to step up. You know, in college, when Lonzo and De'Aaron Fox would match up, De'Aaron Fox kind of owned him, really dominated him, kind of sunned him. Russell Westbrook, you know. But Lonzo's gotten the better match of him, at least this year, when the two played and faced off against each other. And I think Zoe remembers those type of things. And if you're really a bona fide killer and you really want to be successful in the league, you kind of have to be a guy that remembers that type of stuff. So I think Zoe steps up and becomes more aggressive in this one. Not necessarily going to be a huge shot maker. We don't necessarily need to rely on that. If he goes like 3 of 7 from deep, A-okay with that, as long as he stays aggressive and plays well on the defensive side of the floor and continues to look up for passes like he did to Drew, like he did to Zion in this last matchup with the Memphis Grizzlies. So I think Zoe plays a really big role in this one, not just defensively, but offensively in terms of aggressiveness as well. And now, speaking of defense from Drew Holiday and Lonzo Ball, another big key is perimeter defense. So Buddy Hield, last time these two teams played, was 4 of 7 from deep. And collectively, the Kings were 12 of 21 from deep, shooting 57%. Now, 12 threes isn't necessarily a ton. 21 threes attempted is definitely not a ton. I mean, the Clippers just made 25 against the Pelicans, which is a lot, but 12 of 21 and 57% from deep is still not what you want. Preferably, you want to keep that down to like 8 of 21. Something like that is much more ideal. Defensively, and you know, you're not going to get that every night, especially when your opponent has Buddy Hield on their team. But if the Pels can get that to come down a little bit, they can continue to defend the perimeter well like they did against the Memphis Grizzlies, who shot just 27% against them from three-point land in this last game. That's going to be what you're wanting. And that's going to come a lot from Zoe's length, Zoe's defensive capabilities. Drew's, obviously. Brandon Ingram forcing closeouts. He's really good on closeouts, really knows how to use his length there, but could absolutely improve elsewhere defensively. So not going to be something you lean on. You know, obviously it's the perimeter. You're not going to lean on Zion to help out with this, but Josh Hart will be a big part of that as well, defending the perimeter for the New Orleans Pelicans. Another big key to the game for New Orleans is wing scoring. So obviously when you're looking at wing scoring for the Pelicans, it's going to be Brandon Ingram. Obviously, and also Josh Hart putting in 16 the last time these two played a great game against the Grizzlies as well. So if you could see Josh Hart filling it up on the offensive side, you know the Pelicans are probably playing pretty well if Josh Hart's filling it up. So like this last time that these two teams matched up, Brandon Ingram had just 16. And he's also averaging 20.3 in the bubble. I'd like to see that average start to gradually increase as we're going forward. Brandon Ingram not necessarily in the greatest scoring rhythm as we have continued to progress in the bubble, scoring just 14 against the Clippers. Again, nothing really good came of that game. So he put in 23 in their first matchup with the Utah Jazz, 24 against the Grizzlies. If he can score 28, 27, 28, 30 points, that would be awesome in this one. I think that would start to really make his offensive game appear to be more of a threat than I think what teams are taking him for. He's an all-star. He's going to hopefully win Most Improved Player of the Year, but hopefully he can go off for 27, 28, 30 in this one. That'll open things up for Zion. That'll open things up for Derek Favors as well. You know, the Pels don't necessarily need Drew Holiday to go off for 25, 30 in this one either. Lonzo Ball doesn't probably need to go off for the 24, but could stay aggressive. Again, Josh Hart probably not necessarily needed at the wing spot to score a bunch of points, but if he and BI can combine and really go at the Kings at that wing spot, that's kind of where they're lacking as well. I mean, you look at these three matchups in the bubble so far, who's the leading scorers for their opponents? DeMar DeRozan, small forward. Terrence Ross, small forward. Luka Doncic, whatever position he is. Tim Hardaway, small forward shooting guard, probably more of a shooting guard. And then I mentioned it earlier as well, center and power forward scoring. In these recent games, Nikola Vucevic, 23 points. Kristaps, 22 points. Again, not the prettiest stat line, but he did get 22 points, got to the line a bunch of times. So for the Pelicans in that center, you know, power forward scoring position, I said Jaw, if they're really looking to expose the Kings at that center position, it's going to have to be Jaw offensively just because he has the repertoire closer to the basket and he's young and a lot more explosive than Derek Favors, especially after cutting that weight. Jackson Hayes being super athletic, super bouncy, and he can take advantage of the Kings in the fast break with that athleticism. But if you're looking for post moves, the guy you're going to be going for is Jahlil Okafor down low. Obviously, you know, Zion's back, playing up to 25 minutes again. He's healthy, and hopefully he'll go for 25. Pair him with BI and those two doing work. Would love, love, love to see them combine for 50-plus points. That would be great. And then spread the ball around, make some jump shots, hopefully get that three-point percentage up, and we'll talk about that here in a second. Like I said, it's not going to be Derek Favors from that center position. The best Derek Favors we get is when we don't recognize that Derek Favors is out there. That's what it's been in the bubble. When you know he's out there, it's typically when he's making lapses defensively and he's not getting boards. So hopefully this time around, we'll be able to see a little bit less of Derek Favors. Another big key for the New Orleans Pelicans going into this one is cause turnovers. So in this last one, it was don't give up turnovers, don't let up turnovers, preferably 15 or less, but this time it's cause turnovers. The Kings just had 10 against the Mavs in this recent game. They've hovered around 14-15 as well, so they take care of the basketball fairly well for a team that's really not that great. But the Kings, again, just allowing 10 turnovers in this recent game. So the Pels can force those turnovers, get into transition, get rebounds to get into transition. That'll be big for the Pelicans going forward. 3-point percentage. If you can bounce that up, get that up above 40% for the first time since they've been in the bubble, that would be massive. Obviously, we don't need Zion shooting threes. Zoe doesn't necessarily need to put up a ton. Like I said, 3 of 7, 4 of 7 would be awesome. Drew doesn't need to put up a ton of threes. If BI can hit some, that's great. But another stat from this most recent game for the Kings, is the Mavs shot just 9 of 41 from deep. 3-point shots looking kind of ugly for the collective NBA as we're going forward. Like I mentioned, the Jazz percentage. I think I heard tonight that the Rockets put up a ton of 3-point shots. They made a decent amount. They probably would have beat their Trailblazers tonight. Also, Pelicans are shooting just 34.5% from deep in the bubble. Pel's got to get that up. I'd like to see more of JJ Redick in these games. I don't believe he's playing a ton of minutes so far. Obviously, he's seeing the floor, but not to the degree that I'd like to see him on the court. Average 26 minutes a game during the regular season. In these last three against the Jazz, it was 26 minutes. Clippers, 17 minutes. Grizzlies, 29 minutes. So maybe that's just me. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention and he hasn't been, you know, impacting the game to the degree that I expect. Of course, going 5 of 11 from the field against the Grizzlies, scoring 16 points. And then the first game against the Jazz, actually put up 21 points, 7 of 15 from the field. But if he can put together some three-point shots, somewhat of a third quarter like he did against the Bucks. Obviously, that's asking a lot, but if he can start getting that three-point percentage up for the team, that will be huge. It'll really help the offense flow. It'll open up space for Zion to get those athletic layups that we love so much to see from him on, or that we've seen from him in the bubble so far and in his career in general. So there you have it. Keys to the game against the Sacramento Kings in this coming game on Thursday at 12:30 p.m. on NBA League Pass or NBA TV, one way or another. You can watch that. Of course, we'll be doing our best to recap the game. Hopefully, I'm not sure when my friend will be here. My friends will be here this weekend, but if they're not up here on Thursday, we'll definitely recap and then do a preview of the Wizards game that night as well. I'll be able to do that either way because he probably won't be here. I'll be able to do that either way. So that'll be up for Friday, a review of the Kings game and a preview of the game against the Wizards. Excited for that. Stay tuned for that as well. Pels fans, make sure to go follow at Elliot Clough, ElliotClough on Twitter. You're going to be getting a ton of Pelicans content right there. You're going to be getting links to the podcast, polls, ways for you to interact with this podcast whenever you would like a lot. And while you're here, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave a rate and review.
Do it!
That really helps us out, folks, and we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you're listening on a different platform, hit that follow button, or if you can, leave a rate and review. It kind of depends on what platform you're listening to this podcast on. Go follow Believe on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and you can check out a plethora of their other podcasts on Believe.com, or just head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you're listening to this podcast right here. And you can check out some more Pelicans coverage on SB Nation's The Bird Rights. That will include work from former guests such as Preston Ellis, Ali Cosell, Chris Connor, Kevin Berrios, and David Grubb. And then, as well, yours truly. And speaking of yours truly, I am Elliot Clough, and this was Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.